Hello and welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Bob Thune. Usually I'm joined on this podcast by a bunch of friends, but everyone is scattered in this season. Pastor Dusty White is on sabbatical, Chris Hemmelman is on vacation, and Mike Kresnick and Bethany and myself are in the midst of upheaval as our church moves from one temporary building to a permanent building of our own, which is really fun, but it also means that most of our equipment is in boxes as we make a move and sort things out. And so I'm going to do something special for the next couple episodes of the Wednesday Conversation. I want to introduce you to another podcast that I'm involved with that has more specifically to do with church planting. It's the Acts 29 US South Central podcast. And it releases every 2 weeks, not every week. And the episodes are about 12 to 15 minutes, and they're specifically focused on church planting. So this is a podcast that's specifically aimed at those planting churches. And I realize that will not be interesting to every single listener of the Wednesday Conversation, and that's fine. But what will be interesting to you is this interview that I did for that podcast recently with my friend Femi Oshinui, who is leader of a church in Lagos, Nigeria, and a wonderful brother in Christ, and a ferocious gospel leader on the continent of Africa. I've had the privilege this year of spending some time in Africa, and the Lord's really given me a heart and a vision for what he's doing there. Africa is a very strategic and important place, and there's a lot happening with gospel renewal right now across the continent of Africa. And recently, we were privileged to have Pastor Femi come to Omaha and preach at Coramdale Church. And so in addition to that, I sat down with him outside the Staybridge Suites in the on 78th and Dodge, the hotel that he was staying in. We went out on the back patio and just sat down for an hour or two. And I asked him to talk to me about church leadership, about his own story and how he came to faith in Christ and was called into ministry, and about the uniquenesses of leading a church in Lagos and the influence of that city on the continent of Africa, and some of the unique perspectives he has on the church in America from his vantage point on the other side of the world. And so I want you to benefit from my interview with Femi, and also wanted you to know that if you like this kind of content, you can find more that is similar to it on the Acts 29 US South Central podcast. And we'll put a link to that podcast in the show notes for this in case you want to be able to go find that. But if you just search for that in whatever your podcast engine is, I'm sure you'll find it easily. So here now is my conversation with Femi. What has been for you the biggest challenge over the last, let's say, 3 years? So your core group year, but then also the first 2 years of your church plant. What's been what hurdles have you faced to just getting a church off the ground? Mm.
Well, I'll tell you, because the reality of our city is that it's a city of 20 million people, but geographically so small, it's 2.5 times more dense than Manhattan. And the dominant form of transportation, 90% really, is through cars. What does that equate to? Traffic.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It's just loads of traffic. Absolutely, there are parts of Lagos I haven't been to in 3 years since I've been. I just can't go there. And so what that means is that if you're trying to develop leaders, you need to train them. But you can only train them when they're available. But they can't be available except it's Sunday. And so we, as a ratio to the church size to staff, we're top heavy in that regard, because if we want to get ministry done, we need people available. But so that's been one challenge, how to think through delivering ministry, developing leaders in a city that doesn't make them available. That's one. But we thank God the Lord's been gracious to us, and we thought through that. At the same time, it's just what we're trying to do is new. I'm not saying we're the only ones doing it in the city, but not many people are doing it. And even if there are people who, churches that are reformed, but are not probably thinking contextually how to put that out there. But nonetheless, the theology is still different. And in a city that has been cultured, the Christianity has cultured and catechized people with itchy ears, and it's, you know, further reinforced that. When you're pushing against that, no matter how winsome you want to be, that means that a lot of people come in and aren't quite sure. And so you get people visit and then they'll leave. And so I think that slowed down the growth that we would like to have as well. Yeah, so those would be a couple of challenges that I think that we've had. And also, even the people that are among us, though they're committed, there are quite a number of things. So on the one hand, you may have people who have a problem with the emphasis on community, accountable community. On the other hand, you may have people who have a problem with, I would say, a healthy form of complementarianism. On the other hand, you'd have some people who are uncomfortable with the kinds of songs that we sing. They're not very familiar with the Nigerian context. So there's always one complaint or the other, and trying to keep everyone united.
Nobody's happy.
No one's happy. So we always try to tell them, well, at least you can be happy that the other person isn't happy about what you're happy about. So.
That's right. It's unity.
Unity.
That's right. Talk about, what are you trying to do to think about raising up leaders? Because you're in a city of 20 million people. Mm-hmm. You told me yesterday that within 1 square mile of your church, there are 4 or 5 megachurches of 5,000 people or more.
Yep.
So you're trying to be about church planting in a city that there's a lot going on religiously.
Yeah.
How do you think about, you know, your vision for what does it mean to influence this city over the long term? How are you trying to raise up and develop leaders?
Well, I'm happy you said long term. So when we moved back in 2015, I mean, and you're a great leader, so you know this, that we had short-term plans, but long-term plans. And the longest-term plan is that by the year 2050, that's in 35 years, that 1% of Lagosians will be attending a gospel-centered church.
That's a huge goal.
Right, it really is a huge goal. Now, even though the population is estimated to be about 40 million by then, 400,000 people. Yeah. So the way we thought about it is 2,000 churches of average of 200 people.
Yeah.
That's probably the goal. So rather than just thinking huge mega churches, it would be smaller churches. But we did figure that if you get 1%, just because of the kind of theology that we had, if you had 1% of people subscribing to that, it would have a disproportionate effect on the culture itself. So that's the goal. Now, how you have to achieve that is through raising different kinds of leaders. Right now, we, even though the church is just 2 years, we had an inaugural conference for church planters and leaders in partnership with Acts 29 City City last year. And the feedback from that was really great. And I think it's because a lot of people are like, we've not heard this before. And I think there are a couple of things that are working for us, which is one, the prosperity gospel has had about 35 to 40 years in Lagos, Nigeria. And what has happened is, I think it's had its full cycle. It's the emperor has no clothes, and now it's being seen. So a lot of the children of the people who started in this are saying, I don't like it. Children of pastors are either leaving the church, leaving Christianity, or many of them are looking for an alternative. And even some of the ministers, I was on a plane with a pastor of one of the largest churches just a couple of days ago, and he told me, he basically said, I think we went too far with this. And he leads a prosperity church. And so So I do think that we're in a unique opportunity, even though it's growing, where people are looking for an alternative. Now, we as City Church can't reach everyone. Even demographically, where we're planted right now is not, it only represents maybe about 10% of where the city is. And so we know that we need to be able to plant churches with the same theology, gospel-centered DNA, but would have different contextual expressions in the different subcultures of the city. Also would have some cohort learning for guys who are already in ministry, older, but just need to be, you know, influenced in the right direction. And so we'll gather them once or twice every month for 2 years. And want to be able to support these guys, because one of the things that the prosperity gospel has been successful in is that for guys who need to eat, for guys who need to provide their families, if they're not getting support from anywhere, then they're going to actually milk the sheep. And so if you promise them that if you, you know, as in the terminology, if you sow into this ministry, God's going to double that for you. You know, that's how they raise money. So some people have gone into that out of desperation.
Yeah.
And so we figured that if we can help to provide some stipend to some of these guys whilst they're learning, that would be a huge thing for them. And so that's raising leaders externally, but we continue to try to raise leaders internally, whether it's through leaders that lead our gospel communities, or it's through our lay eldership, or it's just, you know, worship coordination, different kinds of avenues for leadership development, so that people are trying to leave these renewal dynamics in their lives, but also some people may consider the ministry, or some people are just, you know, living it out in a healthy church. And so that's, on the one hand, we want to make City Church a model, but on the other hand, we want to build other churches outside.
Last question. Two questions for you. One would be, they're kind of connected, so I'm going to ask them together and you can answer them separately. First question is, what's the biggest challenge for Christianity in Africa in the next 35 years? So if you think about what do you imagine is the challenge to that vision that you've cast for your context, mm-hmm. the context of Africa? And I know Africa's a big place.
That's fine.
But secondly, then as an outsider to the United States, so as one who sort of has a good eye and ear on what's happening to Christianity in this context, what are your, I was going to say critiques, but what can you see that maybe we're blind to? So, you know, talk about your own context, I guess is what I'm saying, what are the challenges there? And then talk about our context, and what do you see as an outside set of eyes and ears looking at America? What do you see as the challenges for Christianity here?
Okay, well, that's helpful. So I would say in our context that I would say it's a twin threat. The biggest threat is twin. So it's, and it, as you know, the challenges to Christianity have always been internal and external.
Yeah.
And I think externally it's Islam.
Okay.
It's Islam is exploding. You know, the difference between true Christianity and Islam is that you become a Muslim by being born into a Muslim home. And so they're actually reproducing just by even just the rate of birth. And so that is exploding currently. Not just, when you think about Islam, you can think about three different types. There's a liberal Islam. There is the terrorism, that's Islamism. And then, but the largest one is fundamentalist conservative Islam. And that's always been the biggest threat. That's the one where they establish themselves by being in governments. And then they set up Sharia law and all of those things. And so we have that in Nigeria. The ones that grab the news is Islamism. But they always represent a very, very small minority. And many times they're actually funded by the conservative Islam. And so that's always, it's a huge challenge. In Saharan Africa, but it keeps coming down. And then internally, I think it's false teaching. It's again, I don't want to sound like City Church is the only thing that's happening in Nigeria or Africa. Absolutely not. That would be insane. But at the same time, I don't want people, Westerners, to be naive as well. That quite often you say, well, you know, Christianity is dying here, but thank God for the global south. And, you know, someone sends you a picture with people raising up their hands, but you need to just listen to what they're raising up their hands to, you know. And so it's not always great. It's not always sound. And so as you have more and more influence, some of these guys having greater influence, the form of the Christianity for the next 20, 30 years is going to be huge. What is going to be the dominant form of Christianity? We already know what it is now, and it's not healthy. And so what? Those are the twin, I think, big challenges for Christianity in Africa. When I come to the West, let me say, particularly in the US, I often say, and I come here often, one of the best things here is also one of the worst things, which is the U.S. is just incredibly wealthy. I mean, I can't overstate that. I go to, you know, what you call regular people's homes, and it's like, man, you know, I love that leather set, you know, couch. And these won't be people that are rich. And so, you know, just the disposable income, what people spend on their kids, all of those kinds of things. And again, let's thank God for that. You know, no one should feel guilty about God's blessing to them. However, at the same time, I think you want to be careful, because I think in many parts of the American church, I don't think people have learned how to suffer well. And comfort is probably the biggest idol. And so people aren't willing to part with their time, part with their money. There's a sense in which, yes, God, but my comfort as well. And I think when that comfort is threatened, some basal instincts do come out of people, whether it's a nationalistic tendency, whether it's a racial tendency, or whether it's a liberationist tendency. There are many different things that come out because some of the idols have not yet been confronted. And so I do think that it is healthy for people here to be, to sometimes probably induce discomfort. That is, give more. And I'm not just saying give more to causes outside of the state. Yes, I would advocate for that. But try to rid yourself of the comfort that can enslave you to to material things and not to God. So give more of your wealth away to the poor. Give more of your wealth away to church. Give more of your wealth away to people. And also at the same time, you know, you guys are so blessed with, you know, medicine and all those things. But that also means that sometimes people always expect to be healed. Mm. And when they're not, you know, the blessing that comes from the comfort of God is not something people can experience well. You know, and so people get into despair, people get discouraged, people, you know, backslide from the faith. And so, again, it's having openings to be able to experience discomfort. Maybe it's the rough part of the neighborhood that you guys need to experience more and be involved with. I think you don't have to go all the way to Africa to actually experience these things. Just to challenge some of those idols that you don't even know is working in your life. Or else you would be, even when you would reject the explicit prosperity gospel, you would have a prosperity gospel light operating in your life and you wouldn't know about it.
Yeah, wow, that's profound. That's profound. Well, Femi, thank you for taking the time to talk. It's been a blessing to just hear from you and to have you speak into our context.
Well, no, it's a pleasure. I really love our partnership with Corondale. It's a wonderful church, and we look forward to continuing that partnership in years to come.
Us too.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, thanks for listening to this special interview with Femi Oshinui. You can find him on Twitter and follow him, or go to his church's website if you're interested in following his ministry more and being prayerful and attuned to what God is doing in Nigeria. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week for another episode of the Wednesday Conversation.